as community, as one. It is like, and written in the scriptures, it's like oil dripping down Aaron's head. Kind of weird. It's kind of a weird phrase, but it's like eating a peach in the summer and having the juice drip down your arm. How good it is to gather together in community. Let us be for and one with one another, the body of Christ today. I invite us to call one another to worship today as it's printed in our bulletin. We'll share it together responsibly. I'm the not old, and you are the bold. What a gorgeous home you have, God. Your beauty takes my breath away. My heart longs to live in harmony with your will.
In your home, nothing is too small to matter. Every butterfly has its blossom. Every round block has her whirl. Every river a valley. The separate songs of every entity wells up as one.
Some follow their instincts. Others derive their inspiration directly from you.
You made the world a garden, and there are some real growths from the touch of their lungs. Our love of life grows stronger and stronger as we begin to recognize you in everything.
Let us join and sing. Yes, Dan, if you're able.
Thank you.
settle in to this sanctuary, this place of peace, of challenge, of comfort, of all the people gathered here. How great is the power of God, how great is the love of God in our lives. And I invite you then to turn your attention outward as we continue in a spirit of prayer. I invite you indeed to settle into this place and to find your anchor, your center, and remember the presence of God within. And I invite us to remember the presence of God who is all around. So I invite you, as you continue in this spirit of prayer, maybe turn your intention or your attention to the people who are seated on your right. And if they're not people on your right, they're people outside who are on your right. I invite you to turn your attention to the people, your prayers, to the people on your left. Turn your attention, focus your prayers, people who are in front of you. Send some love and light to the people who are behind you. We are encircled with love. And sometimes it is that we can feel the love of people. Not all the time. Not all of us knows how. All the time. And God knows how all the time. God is ever-present, encircling us with arms of love, grace, and peace. I invite us then to continue in a spirit of prayer, to open our hearts to the prayers of the people who are around us, that we might fully love one another through joy and through concern, through hope and fear and worry, through sickness, health, are there prayers that you would lift aloud and offer to this sacred space? I offer prayers. I've got a few. It's okay if I can share some. Prayers for Barb Bergman and for Pete and their family. As Barb, we've been praying for her AFib in her heart. And she's been admitted back to the hospital. And prayers of love and memory and blessing for Marge McKee. She died on Friday. So prayers for her family, and especially for Fern and Richard and Mark. There will be a funeral, a memorial service here, and I don't know when. I'm meeting with the family tomorrow. And also prayers for Catherine Larson, who is not here today, but ask for prayers. She's living with Parkinson's and is feeling some pain today. Also prayers for Traveling Mercy, as she is leaving on Thursday to go to Seattle, be with her son, and also then to Bend, Oregon, to be with her sister. Are there other prayers that you would lift aloud at this time?
I'd like to ask for prayers for a young man, 18 years old. His name is Nick, and he's dealing with some very serious difficulties in his life, and he's been trying to throw himself in front of cars to kill himself. Please have prayers for Nick and help him through this troubled time.
Prayers for the
college students and public school students as they're getting ready to start back to school, and or have started back to school, and those teachers that are guiding them.
Invite us to continue in a spirit of prayer. There are words that are printed that are bold, and we'll share those all together. But then the ones that are kind of italicized or lean or a little leaning over to the left, those are phrases, and I'll invite individuals or people to kind of call it popcorn and say, "I'm humming today. I'm so excited." That you can just say it out loud, and I won't use the mic because we can read it, but we can also hear different voices. And it's okay if more than one person says out loud the prayer. It's good for us to hear more than one voice. So if nobody says anything, I'll say something, but feel free, as you feel guided, to pray the prayers that are printed in the bulletin or lift up prayer or change it if you don't like the words or say the, we'll say individual popcorn prayers. I see a little confusion in some faces. It's okay. You're in a good space to be confused. We're all in this together. Yeah. So we'll say the bold words all together, and then individuals say the popcorn, say the prayers just out loud. Well, you'll catch on. Oh God, we praise you.
For all our love, for our need of souls, we tell the first.
You got it.
For the mystery of the journey, the bends of the road, the hills up and down.
For faith which lies deep in our hearts.
Holy One, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
O God, help us.
Help us to let go.
Help us to open our hearts and minds and doors to live in life.
Help us to trust the journey home to you.
Holy One, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
O God, we pray for healing.
For those who mourn the death of a loved one.
For those living under oppression and in suffering.
For each of us as we are continually created toward wholeness. Holy One, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O God, guide us.
Be courageous.
Be wrong.
Treasure the people you love.
All this we pray in the name of one who teaches us to pray the same thing.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
To use on your heart and embed it in your prayer life. And enjoy to sing. Knocked over the pole. inside the pocket. Their pocket. Do you want to see this? Come here. So there's a little pocket back here, and there was gum in this pocket. I don't think there's any. There's no gum in there. Sorry. Now put some gum in there, okay? You can find it next time. But I was looking at this pulpit and I was trying to find the gum, and I knocked over the pulpit. It didn't break, but it was a huge crash. And my mom, who was a pastor at the time, came running. I don't know how she did it so fast. And people came, and I was standing there like, I didn't do anything. And they picked up, several gentlemen picked up that, because it rolled. It like fell down and then it rolled. And so they had to roll it back and then hoist it back up and put it back. And I wasn't allowed to touch the pulpit for a really, really long time. Trouble sometimes in church. There's no trouble like church trouble, because church people remember that stuff for a long time. But it's okay, because we're talking today in church, when we're talking today about Jesus, and it's okay to, I mean, it's not like you're, I know sometimes when we come to church, we're told to be on our very best behavior. Has anybody ever told you to be on really good, like, church behavior? And what's church behavior? I hesitate to ask the adults, but I'm guessing you're all gonna know. Like, what's church behavior?
No talking.
No talking.
Sit still.
Sit still! No running. No skipping, jumping, bouncing around. Be quiet. Right? Has anybody ever told you that? Nobody's going to admit it now. But I've just met other churches, I'm sure have maybe met. That's how it is around at other places. But we're talking, like I said, we're talking today about Jesus. And Jesus, sometimes Jesus tells us to be quiet and to listen and to not bounce around. And sometimes Jesus is like the one that guides us to trouble and tells us to use our voices and tells us to move and act and bounce around in ways that other people might not fully understand. Jesus is our brother, our friend, our savior, and our guide, and also our chief troublemaker. And it's kind of a disconnect, because we are here to follow this troublemaker, and then we come to the church where Jesus is supposed to be all the time, and Jesus is when we're told that we have to be quiet. It's a disconnect. But it's a disconnect that we learn to live with, or we change. Sometimes when I look around, I see Jesus sitting very calm and very still. And sometimes I look around, I am certain that I see Jesus outside banging on the windows, saying, get out of here! Come on, let's go have fun! There's lots of work to do and trouble to make. And sometimes I get confused, and sometimes I just knock over the pulpit and I leave. Okay, so I hope that you find peace in the time that we have at church, but also that you are encouraged to find your voice and speak and act and follow Jesus. Jesus, who loves you very, very much. And all of those people out there, you see them? If they ever, ever tell you to be quiet or to stop running or to be still, it's okay. They love you very, very much. And we don't always know how to tell that to the people we love. Will you pray with me? Thank you, God, for loving us so much. Thank you for giving us voices and minds and bodies. Thank you for guiding us on this road of life. Amen. Oh, amen. Are you going to go to kids' class now? Sunday school? There's somebody. Oh, look, they're standing back there. She's ready. Thanks, Chico. See you later. opened in this time of worship, this time of gathering. May our hearts, minds, maybe even our doors open. I invite you to come to know the people who are seated around you. We continue in worship, and I invite you to, I should have told you this probably every Sunday, but I forget that there are little folders on the end of your pew, and these folders have attendance sheets in them, and it's helpful to mark your attendance. If you feel comfortable, I invite you to mark your attendance. Are there other announcements that you would like to lift aloud today? There are announcements printed in our bulletin, and there's newsletters that are being printed. These have opportunities to participate in our community of faith and opportunities for mission and ministry in the whole world. There are so many opportunities to be a witness of love, hope, joy, and peace in this world. And I think it might be that God is inviting each one of us to participate and engage in our church community, in our world, in our neighborhoods, in very specific and beautiful ways. Maybe this is a time where you can consider how God might be inviting you. I also believe that God is always inviting us to participate in the practices of our faith, to engage in worship like this, where we sing and we pray collectively, and also opportunities in our whole life to join in the journey of faith, whether it's through witness, prayers, presence, our gifts, and our service. One of our deep practices is the practice of generosity. May it be that our whole lives are marked by the generosity of God in Christ Jesus. May we be the Christians who live lives of openness and generosity and grace. I invite you to practice our faith and to practice generosity today. I invite you to give and receive and give and receive. And give and receive our morning offering.
Thank you.
words printed in our bulletin, and we pray together, saying, O Spirit of the poor man of Galilee, fall upon this church. Amen. The scripture reading today is from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21 from the Message. Jesus returned to Galilee, powerful in the Spirit. News that he was back spread through the countryside. He taught in their meeting places to everyone's acclaim and pleasure. He came to Nazareth, where he had been reared. As he always did on the Sabbath, he went to the meeting place. When he stood up to read, he was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written, God's Spirit is on me. He's chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor, sent me to announce pardon to prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and the battered free, to announce this is God's year to act. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the place was on him, intent. Then he started in. You've just heard scripture make history. It came true just now in this place. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A few years ago, maybe 2 years ago, my friend Shelley, who was here with her family, I don't know if you got a chance to meet her. Shelley and I attended a conference in Minneapolis. It's called the Why Christian Conference. It was put on, and is going to be, has been subsequently put on every year since then, by Nadia Bowles-Weber and Rachel Held Evans. Nadia Bowles-Weber is a Lutheran pastor out of Denver, and I think Rachel, I don't know, she's not a pastor, but she writes some books. And they put on a conference with the title, Why Christian?, asking the question, why are we Christian in the world today, in a world like this? And so the format of the conference was that there were, throughout 3 days, probably 20 women preaching and trying to answer the question, why am I a Christian? I loved it. Both Shelley and I loved it. And we were exposed to and heard preaching from such courageous, confident, strong, diverse populations of women. There were white women from all over the world and all over the country. There were black women preaching. There was a Korean Presbyterian preaching, a woman who was Indian and Episcopalian, not Indian from the continent of India, and leaders and preachers and musicians, and they were so inspirational. I've been feeding on and using their inspiration even up until this very day. The last preacher on this last day of this conference was a transgender woman who was preaching on Job. And that was probably the sermon that blew everybody else, just everybody else away. At the end of this conference, I, of course, went to Facebook. And I wrote on Facebook, I may never listen to white cisgender males preach again. A day later, I got a letter from my bishop, a white cisgender male. I don't know if you've heard the term cisgender. Cisgender is not transgender. So I am a cisgender woman, which means that I have the body and the parts of a female, and also in my soul, I feel like I'm a female. So it's the matching of body and soul, and a person who is transgender feels a disconnect between their body and their gender expression. My district superintendent did not know that phrase, but we had a multiple conversation about the phrase cisgender. So it happened, unbeknownst to me, that they didn't respond to me directly, but of course wrote my bishop and my district superintendent a long letter about that comment on Facebook. And it was that I was divisive and that not don't know the Bible, and they offered several Bible phrases and quotations, and signed it, John Wesley. I'm like, holy cow, John Wesley's mad at me. And so I like, took it down right away. And then I read the letter again, and it wasn't John Wesley. It was a defender of John Wesley. So then I'm like, oh boy, it is on. And I blogged. And I blogged about that experience, the experience of being afraid, and then removing my voice from the conversation because I was afraid of what might happen. The conclusion of this story is that just a week later, I was at one of the clergy sessions where it's a leadership conference, we get together, and it's the conversations these days are about being bold, fearless leaders. And we were being trained to be bold and fearless leaders. And the scripture passage that was the cornerstone or the crux for this whole conversation, this whole workshop and training, was the scripture passage that Julie just read for us today. This story about Jesus and his first sermon and his proclamation and declaration of who he is and what his ministry is about. And I don't know if you know this, but you can get your Bible, find your Bible, and turn to that scripture passage in your Bible. It's Luke 4. We didn't use the whole of this pericope because it's long. But take a look at this pericope. So pericope is like, it's called a pearl. It's the chunk of scripture that we take out of the whole. It's not always context because it's a chunk all by itself. But take a look at this pericope. And after Jesus says, it's true what just happened here, what happens after that? Oh, all of the people gathered were amazed. And then Jesus talks some more and then tells a story. So as he said some of the famous words about not being welcome to your own hometown. And then what happens? So Jesus declares his ministry to his church, his congregation. He says some bold words about blessing and about God's work in this world. And that could be sermon enough. And I got a lot about that. But what happens to Jesus after Jesus preaches? And I wonder why it is that sometimes we don't include this. Jesus makes the people really mad. People get really mad. And they run him out of the church and to a cliff. And they're going to throw him off because they're so pissed off at what Jesus is saying. What is Jesus talking about? The people of Nazareth heard Jesus' declaration of God's promises as a guarantee of God's blessing for them. But Jesus offers fulfillment that is not limited to them. God will bless all the poor, all the captives. God's blessing is for all the earth. And the people get, and I can't, the Greek is like pissed. People get really mad that they will have to share. The gospel is always radically inclusive, more wildly loving than any group, denomination, or church has ever been. And we struggle, and the gospel struggles, to live out the breadth and the depth of God's love and acceptance. Nothing we have yet experienced or expressed in our human history has come close to the breadth and depth of God's love. We do well to remember that though the people were hostile, they could not stop Jesus. And the word that is used in the scripture passage that Julie read for us is eporeuto. Eporeuto. Can you try and say that? Eporeuto. Eporeuto. It's from, that's the infinitive. And this eporeuto is the verbal form. It's present continuous. Eporeuto, this means to go, or we're going, or I'm going, let's go. The verb to go, you know? Eporeuto, which was read for us, that Julie read, it simply is, he keeps going. Jesus is on the edge of the cliff, because people are so mad at him, and Jesus just keeps going. It's interesting to me that it wasn't in the past. The writer of Luke said this happened, but in that sense, he said, he's still going. He's still going. Have any of you ever gotten into trouble? So I got into trouble. And I was at the end, I went to this workshop where we were told how to be bold and fearless leaders. And I had a very ironic, very surreal experience of having this passage as the guiding for us on how to be bold and fearless leaders. And then during the break, having the bishop call me up. And the bishop said, and I love the bishop. This is not the first time the bishop has called me up. The bishop called me up, and he said, Sarah, I got a letter. Are you going to get in trouble again? And I said, no, I was scared. My heart was pounding. I said, no, Bishop. But what I really meant to say was, the next time I'm not going to care when I get in trouble. Take a minute. Talk amongst yourselves and share a time. Tell a story about a time when you got in trouble. What happened? What did you do? What came of it? If you feel comfortable, or just think about it in your own heart. But take 2 minutes. Think about it and then tell your story. Thank you. Any of you ever get in trouble? I heard that, of course. Anybody want to tell their story? Muriel.
About us
but he's talking to us. Sometimes I hear Christians reading the scripture passages and hearing the stories of healing and of Jesus' work in our lives, and Jesus including the oppressed and, you know, inviting all of the poor and the outcast into the table at having a meal together, and I'm surprised sometimes that Jesus, that the Christians say, yep, that's me. I'm the poor and the oppressed, the blind, that's me. We may be spiritually poor, we may be oppressed and blind in our spirits, but in this case, in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is talking about people who are actually poor and actively in captivity and systematically oppressed and unwell. And then Jesus goes about dismantling systems of oppression. And we are called to be like him and to do the same. In fact, we vowed to do this. In our baptismal vows, we agreed to resist evil and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. And this is what we are supposed to do. And Jesus is talking to us, encouraging us to live out our calling. We are all anointed by the blessing and the presence of God. And so from who we are, we know what it is we are to do. We may sincerely disagree about how to do this or where to start. And we may think and look and live lives that are very different from one another. But we are unified in this blessing, in this Jesus Christ. Because we know who we are, we know what we are to do. We are anointed to offer good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free. To proclaim the presence of God. What if our whole church, with all of our very fine, upstanding people and a few troublemakers, what if we unified around this scripture passage? Go ahead and read this scripture passage tonight, or this afternoon, tonight, before you go to bed, tomorrow when you wake up. What if you read this scripture passage every day for a week? What would change? I don't know. But I do know El Colorado. El Colorado. He just keeps going. Keep going. Maybe so. Let's sing. We're going to sing Blessed Assurance, which is one of my favorite hymns. And when we get to the chorus, we're going to dig up, which means we're going to funk it up a little bit. Or umpie it a little bit. I think it's funky. We're going to sing, and I'll try to guide you. Sometimes I got. And we're going to clap. We're going to stomp and clap. Can you do that? You can do it. Put your rise straight.
There are some nations.
within